2 Timothy chapter 2. Everybody got it? You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The things which you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer ought to be the first to receive his share of the crops. Consider what I say, for the Lord will give you understanding in everything. Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, descendant of David, according to my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to imprisonment as a criminal. But the word of God is not imprisoned. For this reason, I endure all things for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they also may obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus, and with it eternal glory. It is a trustworthy statement, for if we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of these things, and solemnly charge them in the presence of God not to wrangle about words, which is useless and leads to the ruin of the hearers. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. But avoid worldly and empty chatter, for it will lead to further ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, men who have gone astray from the truth, saying that the resurrection has already taken place, and they upset the faith of some. Nevertheless, the firm foundation of God stands, having this seal: the Lord knows those who are his, and everyone who names the name of the Lord is to abstain from wickedness. Now, in a large house, there are not only gold and silver vessels, but also vessels of wood and of earthenware, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Now flee from youthful lusts and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. But refuse foolish and ignorant speculations, knowing that they produce quarrels. The Lord's bondservant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth, and they may come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Would you join me in prayer? Our gracious Lord, thank you so much for this evening. We thank you for the challenge we have in the scriptures, both that we've read and what lies ahead of us. I just pray, Lord, that you'd help us to be the best servants for you that we possibly can be. We also, as it's been going down the prayer chain, I just would ask that you'd remember Joe in the hospital and that you would help him to be stable and to heal quickly. We just thank you for the opportunities he has had to witness, and we're grateful for that. Thank you. We look forward to what you have for us this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. They said, "The master is coming to honor the town today. And none can tell at what house or home the master will choose to stay." And I thought, while my heart beat wildly, what if he should come to mine? How would I strive to entertain and honor the guest divine. And straight I turned to toiling to make my home more neat. I swept and polished and garnished and decked it with blossoms sweet. I was troubled for fear the master might come ere my work was done. And I hasted and worked the faster and watched the hurrying sun. But right in the middle of my duties, a woman came to my door. She had come to tell her sorrows and my comfort and aid to implore. And I said, I cannot listen nor help you any today. I have greater things to attend to. And the pleader turned away. At last the day was ended and my toil was over and done. My house was swept and garnished and I watched in the dark alone. Watched, but no footfall sounded. No one paused at my gate. No one entered my cottage door. I could only pray and wait. I waited till night had deepened and the master had not yet come. He entered some other door, I said, and gladdened some other home. My labor had been for nothing, and I bowed my head and I wept. My heart was sore with longing, yet in spite of it all I slept. Then the master stood before me, and his face was grave and fair. 3 times today I came to your door, and I craved your pity and care. 3 times you sent me onward, unhelped and uncomforted. And the blessing you might have had was lost, and your chance to serve has fled. Oh, Lord, dear Lord, forgive me. How could I know it was Thee? My very soul was shamed and bowed in the depths of humility. And He said, this sin is pardoned, but the blessing is lost to Thee. For comforting not the least of mine, you have failed to comfort me. Nice poem, isn't it? Well, tonight we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And basically, if I could say it, how are you to serve the Lord? Serve the Lord right where you're at. That's the gist of my message. But I'm not done, so you can't leave. First Corinthians chapter 7, and we're going to pick it up at verse 17, and we're going to go through verse 24 tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 through 24. Everybody got it? Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God has called each, in this manner let him walk. And so I direct in all the churches. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He is not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He is not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing and uncircumcision is nothing, but what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you're able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. Well, let's dig into this. Tonight I want to look at 2 examples that show us to serve Christ right where you are. Serve Christ right where you are. The first example to serve Christ right where you are is serve Christ in your present social status. Now, understand something. Paul is not saying that we can sin. Whatever we gather out of this passage, we have to understand that Paul would never want us to continue in our sin. So that's not what he's saying. He says to remain in the condition in which you were called, but he's not talking about sin. Sin is sin, and whether it be in our actions or the idols of our hearts, it's still sin. And Paul teaches us often in the New Testament to put off the old man, put on the new, and he uses different terminology, whether you're in Ephesians or Colossians or whatever, but it's still there. We're constantly to be putting off the sinful flesh and walk in the newness of the Spirit. So he's definitely not saying in this passage that the believer should continue in sin. You know, remain in the condition you were. No, that's not what he's saying. That would contradict everything else he's taught in the New Testament. Now he says this three times in this text, in short little verses, 17 through 24. Look with me at verse 17. Only as the Lord has assigned to each one, as God called each, in this manner let him walk. Verse 20. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Verse 24. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. Now, I want you to get the impression from this sermon that each one should remain with God in that condition with which he was called. If you get that impression, then we've accomplished something tonight. So three times over, he says the same thing. And how many times does the apostle have to say it before it's valued? Once. But for some reason, he decided to repeat himself three times in this short little text. The Lord has assigned each one. God has placed you in a particular set of circumstances. And I know with the culture the way it is and going downhill, the elections and all this stuff that we watch going on, we might think, boy, I wish I was alive 50 years ago. I wish I had lived 50 years earlier. Or I wish I had lived back in this time period or whatever. No. God has put you in this time period. This is how he wants you to live. This is where he wants you to live in this time. This is his will. And I'm going to repeat that in different ways through here, that this is our calling. He didn't make a mistake when he put you in this time period. I appreciate the discussion we had this morning on the election and all these things, but we've all decided to get our minds on the Lord and get back to his work and to pursue the things that he would have us do. He's given us jobs to do. So we live in this time. We live in this culture such as it is. We live in this certain country within a certain state. And just because you become a Christian, and many of you became a Christian a long time ago, but you just don't abandon all that and walk away from it. Now, that's not saying, like, if you had a bad career, I listed one like, well, prostitution, that would be a very bad career. You should get out of that, okay? Maybe a salesman's job where you have to lie to sell something. Get out of it. You can't stay in that. So if your job is requiring you to do something sinful, well, by all means, you need to get out of it. So we're not talking about that. But the Corinthians wanted to leave everything. Their careers, their marriages, their culture. They've been talking about all these different topics. And they want to walk away from it all. And the point is, no, God has placed you in these circumstances. Verse 17, it says, as the Lord has assigned to each one. Makes it pretty personal, doesn't it? The Lord assigned each one this station in life. And he also adds to that, as God called each. You see that? Verse 17, as God has called each. Verse 20, each man remained in the condition in which he was called. Verse 24, again, each one is remaining with God in that condition in which he was called. What does he mean by that? Understand, beware that the Lord has assigned, he's called the believer in these particular situations of life. And Paul says, let him walk. By saying it two ways, Paul calls our attention to it. The Lord has assigned as God called. In other words, stick to the path in life God has given you. And it is interesting when he says called, normally that's in the New Testament, in Paul's writing, he's talking about how you were saved. So in other words, stay in the condition in which you were in when you were saved. particular station in life, as the Lord has assigned. Stick to the path in life God has given you. And then he adds at the end of the verse, so I direct in all the churches. Three times over, walk as the Lord assigns, as God called. Each one must remain in that condition in which he was called. Remain with God in that condition in which he was called. Since Paul said it three times, I think I will too. Remain with God in that condition in which he was called. All right, well, let's look at the illustration, verse 18 and 19. Was any man called when he was already circumcised? He's not to become uncircumcised. Has anyone been called in uncircumcision? He's not to be circumcised. Circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing, but what matters is the keeping of the commandments of God. All right, when I first read this, I had trouble understanding it. If a man was circumcised, he's not to become uncircumcised. If you think about it a little bit, you know, how's that going to happen? But in preparing for this sermon, I try to read several commentaries and try to understand how different men have taught this, and it helps me to discern what's the importance of the passage. Good old Johnny Mack wrote in his commentary that even centuries before Christ, many Jewish men would feel the pressure of the Greek culture. So they wanted to participate in sports. So you know how it is when you're changing clothes and so on and you're with a bunch of guys. A Jewish person, a man, would not want it to be known that he was circumcised, because that would be a point of mockery. And so it's possible that Paul is referring to that. And MacArthur says that there was a surgical procedure developed so a man could appear to be uncircumcised. And he thinks that's what Paul's talking about here. Obviously, you can't replace what's been cut off. But that's probably what he's referring to, according to MacArthur. The other thing, on the other hand, when we're talking about circumcision in the New Testament times, many times it just means the Jews as a people. They're called the circumcision. And the Gentiles are called the uncircumcision. So it could be a describing that you would, that the circumcision would see an advantage of living like one of the uncircumcision and vice versa. So that wouldn't be so much about the physical act of circumcision, but more trying to be like somebody else so you can fit in. Either way, that's the goal, trying to fit in, trying to be unnoticed. So to the church of Galatia, this was a huge issue. Remember, the Judaizers would come and teach that the whole law of Moses needed to be kept in order to be saved. Remember how Paul dealt with that in Galatians? That was a big issue. Huge. The Gentiles had to be circumcised according to the law of Moses, according to these Judaizers. And Paul at that point in Galatians 5:12 says, I wish that those who are troubling you would even mutilate themselves. So in other words, go even further and cut more off. And that's about all I want to say about it. In Christ, this is not what's important, Paul says. Paul says circumcision is nothing. Uncircumcision is nothing. It doesn't matter in Christ. In fact, he told the Galatians in chapter 5, verse 2, if you allow yourself to be circumcised, then Christ is no value at all. What's important is a born-again, regenerate heart. A heart that wants to obey God and seeks to obey Him from deep within, from the heart. So today, okay, this isn't an issue today. We don't really talk about it. But there's still an application of the passage today. Will Jews be more spiritual if they behave like Gentiles today? If Gentiles want to become like Jews, do we want to be more spiritual and behave like Jews? It's best to realize God has called each one where you're at. If you're called as a Gentile, if you're saved as a Gentile, you should live as a Gentile. And we're not talking about disobeying God or anything like that. Of course, we've got all the commands of the New Testament we need to obey. We're not talking about that. What are some of the other applications of this? I think there's a huge one that would apply to our day. In our day, many have talked about a man becoming a woman surgically by hormones and by surgery and all those things. For Christians, I would say this, be content with what you are. Amen. If God made you a man, live your life as a man. If God even made you a woman, live your life as a woman. That's how God made you. There is no discrepancy about this. It's pretty obvious what God wanted you to be. Because He made you that way. Created you like that. Live out. But the point is that Paul's making here, live out your life faithfully in the state in which you were called. And be content. I think people need to hear this today, don't they? Of course, many that are struggling with that aren't believers anyway, so the first thing is to tell them about Jesus. First example, serve Christ right where we are in your present social status. Now, secondly, serve Christ in the job you already have. Serve Christ in the job you already have. How you were called? How were you called? All right, let's look at verse 20 through 23. Each man must remain in that condition in which he was called. Were you called while a slave? Do not worry about it. But if you're able also to become free, rather do that. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Well, so again, the emphasis is on staying in the condition in which you were called. And again, calling is the idea of being saved. When you were saved, what condition were you in? What job did you have? So once again, in the New Testament, in this epistle and elsewhere, being called is a word for salvation. What job did you have when you were saved? Were you called when a slave? Well, okay, we don't have slavery in the United States, but still, what kind of employment did you have? Some of our jobs seemed like slavery at times. Paul says, don't worry about it. This really covers a wide range of slavery. Not all slaves were treated badly. Now, when we think of slavery, normally we think of slavery in America, and I think in general, well, not always, I guess, but in general, I think slaves were treated pretty badly in the U.S., but in Roman times, many slaves had excellent medical care with benefits. They worked regular hours, were treated quite well by their masters. Others, though it's true, were worked mercilessly and treated with contempt by their masters. So I'm sure there was a wide range of how this was actually lived out. Many didn't live long because of the harsh treatment. But Paul is saying to whatever state you're in, don't worry about it. Don't let it be a care to you. Just because you became a believer in Christ does not change your whole station in life. On the other hand, Paul says in verse 21, if you're able to do something about it and become free, by all means do so. How shall we apply these principles to Christians today? Well, I would say be content with your job, the job that God has given you. Now, sometimes people come and say, well, I got this and this and this circumstance. And I always tell them, if you have an opportunity to get a better job, perhaps for more pay, better work conditions, fine. There's nothing wrong with that. You can do that. But I think learning to be content in your situation is an important aspect of godliness. We need to learn to be content. Why is that? I think he fleshes that out in verse 22-23. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. In other words, Paul says, if you're called or saved while a slave, you're free in the Lord. And the one who is called while a free man is really Christ's slave. I've tried to make a big issue of that because I think it's very important. The Greek word doulos appears all over the place in the New Testament. And even in its context, I think it should say slave. And I think to think of ourselves as the Lord's slave is actually a very good thing. Someone whose will is totally absolved within the will of another. In other words, I want to serve my Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do what He wants me to do. I'm His slave. And some people want to, we don't want to use the word slave. We want to use the word servant. And I say, no, let's just call it what it is. We want to think of ourselves as slaves. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's just our American heritage, I think, that we don't want to use the word slave. This is one of those passages in the New Testament where the word for slave is doulos, and it's translated as slave because of the context. But many times doulos is translated as servants elsewhere in the text. It's for that reason. We're all slaves of Jesus. And when you're saved, your life becomes about trying to please Him in everything you do. And that's why I made a big issue in Romans 10. If you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord. And I think we're saying, He is my Lord. Well, if He's Lord and Master, what am I? If you feel better saying servant, I guess, but I would just say I'm His slave. And I need to think of myself as the slave of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to do His will. So our contentment of being in Christ should reflect in the jobs He's asked us to do. If you're a plumber, maybe Jesus wants a faithful plumber to work for Him. If you're a homemaker, then be the best homemaker for Jesus you can possibly be. Whenever I think this way, I think of Elizabeth Elliot. And she said, whatever I do, I want to do for the glory of God. When I wring out a washcloth, I grab that washcloth and I wring it out for the glory of the Lord. Do it with all my heart. We can learn an awful lot from these verses to be content with our jobs and to say, and to put our whole heart and soul into serving the Lord in whatever He's called us to do. Learning to be content. Verse 23, that reminds us of, we just went over this not too long ago, chapter 6, verse 20. You've been bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body. In that section, he's talking about fleeing sexual immorality because you've been bought with a price. But here it's the same idea. Our loyalties, our desires of life should be a reflection upon the one who bought us. And we all know with what great price the Lord Jesus bought us. It took the cross. It took going to the cross to redeem our souls. We were bought with a tremendous price. So what do? We glorify God with our bodies, with our service, with our whole heart and soul. And then Paul gives this warning in the end of verse 23, do not become slaves of men. I think that's more applicable than anything else we've looked at today. Think about it. Do not become slaves of men. All right, you would never, as an American, you would never think of selling your body as a slave. I'm going to sell myself into servitude. Not me, I'm an American. But there's a sense when we do it all the time, and I want you to think about this. Every time we know what we're supposed to do to obey Christ, and we don't do it because someone else might think bad of us, we have become a slave of men. Oh, I can't do that. What will they think of me? Well, then you're a slave of the one you're afraid of, not a slave of the Lord Jesus. We say to ourselves, I need to go witness to that guy, but I don't. I'm afraid. Well, who's my master? My fear? What that guy will think of me? before the Lord Jesus. It could be that our own flesh is our master. Are we slave to our own desires? Many times we are. Many times we are. So Paul's admonition here, do not become slaves of men, even ourselves. That's a big text to think about. We need to be slaves of the one who bought us, the Lord Jesus. By realizing we've been bought with a price by the blood of Christ, we're his slaves. I think that can help us push ahead to do his will in times when maybe we wouldn't normally. Good things to think about. Well, tonight we've looked at two examples that show us to serve Christ right where you are. Serve Christ in your present social status. You don't need to change who you are. I've said several times, it's not the same as turning from sin and pursuing righteousness. No, that we need to do that no matter what. That's not what Paul's talking about. But this whole idea where I have to leave my marriage, I have to leave my job, I have to quit everything and I need to do something like that. No, Paul is saying, stay where you've been called. Continue your work. But now you're doing it as unto Christ instead of begrudgingly as you were before, most likely. If your culture, your job is causing you to sin, of course you have to change. But Gentiles do not have to become Jews. Jews do not have to become Gentiles. You remain what you are when God called you. You are what you are, and if God called you in that state, serve him in that state. And today, because of the times we live in, I need to say this, and I'm hoping, see, to give you ammunition when you talk to others. Men should be content to be men, and women should be content to be women, because that is how God made you. And I think this is biblical precedence for that. Be content with how you were called when you're saved. When it comes to employment, serve Christ in the job you already have. Be content, serve him with all your heart. By all means, if you have an opportunity to change jobs and do better, there's nothing wrong with that. That's certainly fine. But the job you're currently in, serving with all your heart, you're serving Jesus. We are his slaves. We were bought with a great price. We must not be slaves of men. We need to remember who our real master is and seek to serve him. Three times in this passage, Paul tells us to be content in the situation from which God saved us and serve him in that state. I think this covers everything. The applications of this passage are huge. What is it that's tripping you up? What is it that is causing you to be discontent? Think about this. What kind of government do you live under? Is it godly or not? Not. Getting worse all the time. What does our culture teach us? How should you act? What kind of a boss do you have? A good, kind, benevolent boss is easy to work for. I've been fortunate that way at Challenge Machinery. I've always had good bosses that were kind, and I work hard for them, and they appreciate what I do, and it's been a good work environment for me. So I've been blessed that way. Some of you have difficult situations that you're in, and I know that. But will your work performance depend on the boss you have? I hope so, because I hope you recognize that Jesus is my ultimate boss, my ultimate king, my ultimate Lord, my master. So I hope that will influence how you work. Do I need to become like someone else before I can obey Jesus? Absolutely not. He called you as you are. None of those things matter. Faithfulness to God, loyalty to him, that's what matters. What matters is a steadfast heart that's set on being the best slave you can possibly be for Christ, serving in whatever manner of life he saved you. Well, it's quite a discourse, isn't it? I think, again, lots of applications here. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Oh, our gracious Lord, thank you so much for this admonition from the Apostle Paul. I pray that we would be a people that truly are content with the situation you placed us in, the time period we live in, the government that we have. And I pray, Lord, that we would do what we can to change it as possible. But at the same time, our focus must be on you, the work you've given us to do, being steadfast and faithful to the calling that you've made. Thank you for this charge from your apostle. We praise you in Jesus' name.